encourage you to take out your Bibles. We're looking at Daniel chapter 2. And whenever there's a message here at New Hope, we encourage you to take notes and make a note of all the Bible verses we read, the dad jokes, the quotes, all those kind of things. And the notes will be available on our New Hope Facebook private group. If you haven't joined that yet, we can add you in. And you can print them out, use them for your own personal devotion, or use them in your Connect groups, use them to study later, use them for your own devotion. So I encourage you to take notes today, but also they'll be available. If you haven't joined us on Facebook, you can check it out. I also just wanted to mention that our previous series on intimacy with God is now available on CD or USB. If you'd like to get a copy of that, just see the What Now table, or you can listen to the podcast of that at our New Hope Brisbane website. I encourage you to check that out. Now, today we're looking at Daniel chapter 2, and I do have a video of Superbook. Who's heard of Superbook before? Now, I've watched pretty much every episode of Superbook with my kids, and I think it's one of the best ways to explain the Bible. This is a really good snapshot of the chapter we're looking at today, so let's look to the screens and learn from Superbook about the book of Daniel.
Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His.
Chris, wake up!
He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank You and praise You, O God of my fathers. Take me to the king, and I will explain the meaning of his dream.
Can you tell me my dream and what it means?
Your Majesty, not even the smartest person in all the world can do what you are demanding. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And while you were sleeping, He showed you what will happen in the future. Your Majesty, what you saw standing in front of you was a huge and terrifying statue. This image, huge and dazzling, towered before you, fearful to behold. Its head was made of gold. Its chest and arms were silver, and from its waist down to its knees, it was bronze. From there to its ankles, it was iron, and its feet were a mixture of iron and clay. As you watched, a stone was cut from a mountain, but not by human hands. The stone struck the feet, completely shattering the iron and clay, and swept away like chaff before the wind until no trace remained. But the stone became a tremendous mountain that covered the entire earth.
Was that really the dream?
How would I know?
And the meaning of the dream? Why does it fill me with dread?
Because you, O King of Kings, you are that head of gold. After you, there will arise another kingdom, and then a third, and then a fourth, as strong as iron. During the time of those kings, the God who rules from heaven will set up an eternal kingdom that will never fall.
He's told Nebuchadnezzar that his kingdom will fall.
Now I know that your God is above all other gods and kings, because he gave you the power to explain this mystery. I will make you chief of all my wise men and governor of the province of Babylon.
The work will be better done, my king, if these good men govern beside me.
It will be as you wish.
Isn't that fantastic, hey?
The Rosen School of Hebrew is a
real great snapshot there of the chapter we're looking at today. And I want to encourage you, if you've got any Bible story that you want to learn about, just Google Superbook. You can watch it on YouTube. You can see the videos. We usually regularly use Superbook in our children's ministry here. And it's made by some of the guys that make Toy Story and, you know, all the amazing, you know, animators. And it's good quality, great teaching. When we actually preached a series in the book of Revelation, I played a few of the clips then as well. And so I think it's a great way to explain the Word of God. But as I was driving in this morning, praying and just asking the Lord's blessing on this this message today, I could smell the butter chicken in my car and I was craving that. But I was praying and thinking, Lord, what's your heart behind this series? And I really just want to open just by sharing what he put in my heart. This series in the book of Daniel is so crucial for the times we live in. The world is becoming more and more hostile against Christianity. And we as Christians need to learn how to be brave and how to stand up. And we need to know how to function in the supernatural so that we can bring God's kingdom wherever we go. Amen? You look at the way Daniel and these boys, they did their Daniel fast. They gave up their meats and sweets. They decided not to eat. Last week we looked at Daniel chapter 1. They decided not to eat the food that was offered to them, the royal food. And they came out 10 times greater than everyone else. Who wants to be 10 times greater? I believe we are going to see a generation of Christians rise up in these last days 10 times greater than the last generation. That's what I'm believing for my children, that they'll be raised up 10 times greater than their mum and dad. I'm believing that we're going to have the supernatural power of God, just like we see with the book of Daniel. So in this series, How to Be Brave, we're walking through Daniel chapter 2 today. We're going to look at how Daniel was anointed by God to interpret dreams. Charles Swindoll said this: when you examine the life of Daniel, you consistently encounter amazing and irrefutable qualities of God in the midst of corrupt surroundings and persecution. This intriguing prophet of the last days modeled a life marked with integrity. You know, integrity is when you honor God when no one else notices, when no one's looking. Daniel was a man of integrity. Where are the Daniels in 2019? Will we be a Daniel generation who will stand up for God in the midst of a dark culture? The first scene in the book of Daniel shows the burning of Jerusalem by the wicked king Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel and his three friends were taken captive along with the entire nation to Babylon and were ruled by Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel's reputation preceded him and he was made an advisor to Nebuchadnezzar. He and his friends are described as being 10 times greater than anyone else. I'm believing that we are going to see a Daniel generation in our day and age in Australia. Let's have a look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So he summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I've had a dream that troubles me and I want to know what it means." The astrologers answered the king, "May the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream and we will interpret it." The king replied to his astrologers, "This is what I've decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret, I'll have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you'll receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me. Talk about a tough boss, hey? Once more they replied, let the king tell his servants the dream and then we'll interpret it. The king answered, I'm certain that you're trying to gain time because you realize that this is what I've decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is only one penalty for you. You've conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then tell me the dream and I will know that you can interpret it for me. The astrologers answered the king, there is no one on earth that could do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician, enchanter, or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans. This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to the wise men to be put to death. And the men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death as well. Now let's have a look at this story. These men made their living on their supposed ability to contact the gods and gain secrets from the spirit realm. If they were really what they claimed to be, they should be able to tell Nebuchadnezzar both the dream and its interpretation. Now I believe in this day and age, we have a lot of people that are operating in, you know, clairvoyancy and fortune telling and tarot cards and, you know, there's lots of sorcery. We're in Papua New Guinea where we're going to, there's lots of witch doctors, you know, in Africa, you know, there's all this this new age and old age mysticism and evil stuff that happens all over the world. And I believe that all this stuff is a counterfeit of the gift of prophecy and the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, which we have available to us through God's Holy Spirit, amen? I actually had the chance to preach at the Sunshine Coast years ago, and a clairvoyant gave a heart to Jesus. I bet she never saw that coming, eh? And we reached a really happy medium that day, actually. But when she came out to the altar and we prayed for her, she shared with us that demons would tell her what to say when she's, you know, palm reading and whatever she does, you know, and that those demons would speak to her and would trouble her and she would wrestle and fight with these demons and they would torment her. But she couldn't give up her clairvoyancy and her fortune-telling because she knew that the devil would say to her, if you give this up, I'm going to ruin everything. So she felt she was under a curse to keep functioning in this. And then when she came to Jesus, she was fearful that the devil was going to get her back. And so when I prayed for her at the altar call, I said, you don't need to worry about old hairy legs, the devil. Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the enemy. Amen? He that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. I said, now that you're in Christ, you have authority over those demons. You can tell them to flee. And that woman, I'm friends with her on Facebook, I still see her. She is now regularly prophesying in churches, regularly sharing words of knowledge, words of wisdom. You see, she was using a counterfeit from the devil to predict the future and whatever, you know, because the devil, everything good from God, the devil tries to copy it, but he can't match the power of God, amen? You look at it time and time through Scripture. You look at Elijah with the prophets of Baal. You look at Joseph against the guys he was up against. You look against Moses against the guys he was up against. All through the Scriptures. You look at Peter and Paul and John, the guys in the New Testament. Whenever a man of God stands up, God is more powerful, amen? We need to believe that in this day and age, if we stand up for God, he will endow us with supernatural power. Is God speaking to you through dreams? Has God given you a vision? I love the verse in Joel chapter 2, which is repeated in Acts chapter 2. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Still, for me, regularly, I'm seeing visions. Thankfully, I haven't had that many dreams. Because the old men dream dreams, the young men see vision. Let me just get a quick snapshot survey of all the Christians here today. regularly gets dreams from God where God speaks to them through a dream and you can interpret it sometimes. Yeah, awesome. Okay. Who gets visions sometimes when they're praying, whatever you know. That's a wonderful, wonderful evidence of the supernatural power of God to reveal to us. Amen? Sometimes you might have a vision and you don't understand it and you'll need to go to someone, you know. Sometimes you'll get a dream, you'll need to ask for it, you know. The Lord will give you the interpretation at the right time. Just recently, 2 weeks ago, we were in our prayer room and the Lord gave me a vision of golden bullets firing out of my mouth, that when I spoke, golden bullets, and that demons would flee, chains would break off people. And I believe that was a vision the Lord gave me to say, when you preach, the word of God has power, amen? The word of God will not return void. It will accomplish that which it's sent for. God watches over his word to perform it, amen? The word of God is like the sword of the Spirit, amen? And I believe that was a vision the Lord gave me to encourage me. You know, when you have a vision, it will give you courage. That's what encourage means. Encourage. It'll give you courage and strength to be bold, amen? And I believe in this season of prayer and fasting, we're going to see an increase of dreams and visions, amen? Hopefully not too many dreams during the sermon. Stay awake, everyone, please, if you could. But the Lord might give you an open vision. The Lord might speak to you. Tune in and listen. Don't just disregard it. Sometimes you'll have a weird dream and it's just the bad pizza you had the night before, and you can disregard it. But generally, if it's a dream that's vivid and that you can remember, either you'll get the interpretation or you can get the interpretation of someone else. Phil McCallum, the pastor that planted this church 17 years ago, when he first planted this church, had a vision of a massive tree with lots of fruit and big, strong branches. And the Lord spoke to him and said, New Hope Church is going to be like a big tree that's roots are planted deep in the Word of God, and that many branches will bring shade and blessing and fruit to many people from many tribe and tongue and nation. Isn't that a beautiful vision for our church, you know? I believe that God speaks to us sometimes foretelling what's happening and foretelling what's about to happen, amen? We need to believe that God will speak to us through visions and dreams. The Bible gives many accounts of God revealing himself through visions and dreams. He gave Joseph, an eventual ruler over Egypt, a dream in his early years. You know the story of Joseph and the coat of many colors? Sometimes it's not a good idea to tell your brothers what your dreams are. I'm just saying, you know. You could end up in a pit and sold it, you know, in slavery, you know. Sometimes you just got to keep it yourself. But, hey, he did, and you know. But you know what? Even though he went in the pit, God raised him up again. Even he went in the prison, God raised him up again. Whether you're in the pit or the prison, God can raise you up, amen? But God spoke to him through dreams. The Lord troubled Nebuchadnezzar, which we're looking at today. In the early years of Jesus' life, an angel appeared in the Gospels. An angel appeared three times to his father Joseph to direct his path. Years later, Jesus himself appeared to Saul, a persecutor of Christians, as he traveled down the road with a vision. God speaks to us through dreams and visions. That's just a handful of examples. So how do we interpret our dreams or our visions? Number one, know where you stand. When you have a relationship with God, you're better able to interpret it. The way to have that relationship is only through Jesus Christ, who bridges the gap between man and God. When Jesus is part of your life, he helps you understand these mysteries. How many of you know God moves in mysterious ways? God's ways are higher than our ways. And I thank God that we can't comprehend and understand everything about God. There's no way we can comprehend the height, the width, and the depth of God's love for us. There's some things that happen, some prophetic dreams and visions. I'm like, I've got no idea what that is. And I love the fact that we serve a mysterious, almighty God who is far greater than what we can comprehend. And every now and then he gives us a glimpse of his glory. He gives us a snapshot of eternity. When we come to God, we can ask him to give us wisdom to interpret the dreams that we've received. God's word will come alive. In 2 Peter 1 verse 21, it says, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Ask God to speak to you through his Holy Spirit. What does this dream, what does this vision mean? Number two, investigate. See how the dream or the vision aligns with the Bible, God's word. Anything that contradicts God's word is not a word from the Lord. our minds, and even Satan are capable of producing great deception. And I believe we'll see a great deception in these last days. Many believers will be led astray by great counterfeit signs and wonders, by many antichrists in these last days. If it doesn't line up with God's word, bin it, ditch it, get rid of it. It's got to be in line with God's word. Investigate. Number three, lean on key people. It's important to seek godly counsel. Mature Christians who study their Bible daily can help search the scriptures. They can also offer prayer, another critical component as you wait on direction from the Lord. While God sometimes chooses to speak through visions and dreams, He's already spoken to us through His word. Amen? It always has to line up with God's word. So I just want to encourage you, seek the Lord for visions and dreams. And then ask Him for the interpretation. Ask wise, godly people around you. The Bible says, wisdom is found in the counsel of many in the book of Proverbs. Okay, let's move on to verse 14. Let's have a look at how this story unfolds. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised God. Here's a key. Whenever God gives you something, don't take the glory for yourself and go, "Look at me, I'm a big shot, I can interpret." Or, you know, always give the glory to God, amen? God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself to God and give Him the praise. And if you struggle in your prayer life, I know for me sometimes I get a bit dry and I pray the same old things over and over. I'm always praying for our church and praying for our prime minister and praying for health for my family and praying for, you know, this and that. Sometimes you can get a bit rote in your prayers. One thing I've learned in my prayer life is to learn other prayers from the Word. When you read through the book of Daniel, there's some great prayers in here. You could memorize these or use them as a pattern for prayer. Look at the Lord's Prayer as a pattern for prayer, for example. Here's a great prayer that you can learn from. This is the way Daniel prayed. He said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His." Let me just pause there. So much of the prayers we see in Scripture always start with praise. Our Father in heaven. You know when Jesus said, "Our Father," He was saying, "He's our Father." It was one of the first times people thought of God as a father, not as just a distant king or a great and mighty Yahweh, Jehovah, you know, a father, our Father. Hallowed be your name. How do we get close to God? The Bible says, enter His gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, enter His courts with praise. We must always have that pattern in our prayer life. That's why we have worship and praise songs at the start of our service, to enter in boldly through praise and worship. Praise be to the name of our God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. Let me just pause there for a moment. I know some people get bored during worship and they just want to get it over and done with so they can get to the awesome sermon coming soon. Let me tell you, if you get bored with worship, you're going to get bored in heaven. Because 24/7, 365, heaven has worship going on. It's a glimpse of heaven. And you might like the style of worship or the song choice or this and that. Don't get distracted by that stuff. That's what the devil wants you to do. I remember reading the Screwtape Letters recently from C.S. Lewis, a brilliant book about a major demon teaching a minor demon how to deceive some Christian guy. And one of the scenes in it, the Christian guy's in church and he's trying to listen to the sermon and this demon comes up and he goes, "Oh, look at that architecture in that building. Isn't that daggy? Oh, look at that window over there. Oh, look at that person over there, that neighbor of yours you don't like." And the devil tried to distract him from listening to the word and worshiping God. And, you know, that's the devil's plan, to deceive you and distract you from receiving God's word, from entering into worship. But praise routs the devil, amen? When you worship and praise God, He flees. He can't stand it. He hates worship. He was in charge of worship in heaven before He was kicked out. And now that's why a lot of the music on this world is so evil and dark these days, because the prince of the power of the air, the devil, Aerilegs, is in charge of music on this earth, except for the good Christian music we play on Vision Radio. Hallelujah. But let me just tell you, praise routs the devil. If you're under attack, if you're being deceived, if you're being distracted, you start worshiping and praising God, amen? And he will flee in the name of Jesus. Because when we worship God, we don't look at our circumstances, we look to our Father in heaven, amen? We quote, like the scriptures say, where does my help come from? I look to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. When we worship, we lift up our eyes and we look up to our Father. I'm preaching excited today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to dance around and get warm up here. Thank you, Jesus. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. Verse 24, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him. Now, just think about this series called How to Be Brave. This is it. This is how to be brave. Imagine if he got it wrong. Imagine the fear that could have crippled him in that moment. I believe the opposite of faith is fear. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Amen? Somebody say amen. You know what? The devil will try and put fear in us and say, don't do what God's put on your heart. But when we have the Holy Spirit, we have boldness to go and do what God told us to do. Nebuchadnezzar was known as a wicked king. He threatened. He was going to cut them up into pieces. He was going to, every one of them was going to be killed, you know. Daniel was like this young Jewish boy, 13, 14. He'd been in the, you know, I don't know how old he was at this time. He was, you know, just a teenage boy standing before this mighty king. And if he said one word wrong, off with their heads, literally. It would have been gruesome. But he hears from God. He says, take me to the king. Probably said it with that voice, take me to the king. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed. Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, I found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means. The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that passed through your mind as you were lying in bed are these. As your majesty was lying there, your mind turned to things to come. The revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than anyone else alive, but so that your majesty may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. Your majesty looked, and there before you was a large statue, enormous, dazzling, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. The iron, the clay, the bronze and the silver and the gold were all broken to pieces and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream. Now I will interpret it to the king. Your majesty, you are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power over might and glory. In your hands he has placed all mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them. You are that head of gold. After you, another kingdom will rise inferior to yours. Next, the third kingdom, one of bronze. the rule will rule over the earth. Finally, there'll be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true and its interpretation trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. Daniel's stock went way up after the king required that a dream be interpreted by the magicians and advisors, or all of the advisors would die. Daniel approached the king and said God would tell him his dream and interpretation. That is gutsy. That is brave. That is courage. An example of trusting in God even under pressure. Daniel went to his friends and explained the situation. They went to God in prayer. Friends, we must remember prayer is the key. Whether it's something to do with your job, with your children, with our nation, whether it's a health issue, whatever it is, prayer is your key. Corrie ten Boom said this, "Let prayer be your steering wheel, not your spare wheel." Amen? Not your spare wheel. How many of us just pray when we're struggling? MC Hammer, the great 1980s philosopher, said this, "We've got to pray just to make it today." Every day, oh yeah, we pray. The key to success and favor and blessing in life is to pray. Ephesians 6:18 says, "Keep on praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." If your prayer life is dry, let me encourage you. Read the Word of God. Study prayers in the Scriptures. Put on worship music. Get on your face. Get on your knees. Do whatever it takes to come alive in your prayer life. I often say, my wife, if I took her out for a date every Friday night to the same restaurant and we talked about the same subject, we talked about the kids and we talked about our finances and we talked about our next holidays, if we did the same thing every week, she'd get bored of it, wouldn't she? She wants me to romance her. She wants me to be creative, buy her flowers, read her poetry, take her on a golden gondola, take her on a parachute, you know, balloon, you know. What? She's a wild woman. She loves all that stuff, you know. I've got to be creative to keep our love alive, amen? The same thing with your prayer life. You've got to put something into it. You've got to be creative in your prayer life. Don't just become some religious fuddy-duddy that babbles on like the pagans, repeating the same old. Be a man or a woman of passionate, fervent prayer. Daniel and his friends went to God in prayer, and they asked God for the interpretation. One of the other problems with our prayer life is that we're always just telling God things, and we're never asking him to speak to us. Prayer is a two-way conversation. Be still and know that he is God. Tune in. You know, if you want to tune into Vision Radio, it's AM 1053. You can hear Vision Radio. If you want to tune into God, you've got to find God's frequency. You've got to worship. You've got to pray. You've got to be in the Word. You've got to listen in. And God will give you interpretations. Just like the Red Sea parted, Daniel was placed in an impossible situation, but God opened a way. God can give you a supernatural solution. The result we see in this chapter is that Daniel and his friends and the non-believers were spared. They were given raises and more responsibility, and the God of Abraham was protected in the land. The moral of these amazing stories in Daniel and the many great stories we read in the scriptures is that with obedience to God, great faith and courage, God will provide. When we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto us. You never hear stories about people who played it safe or didn't step into an impossible situation, do you? Where is God calling you to step into that requires courage and faith? What problem are you called to solve? You see, Daniel did have a choice in his time, whether to seek God for wisdom and provision or to just be among the crowd. But he chose to be a history maker. I spoke to one woman this week at the soup kitchen. She said, "I don't like to just read about history. I like to make history." I'm like, come on, that is a great line, you know. She's got a vision to, you know, to be an impact for Christ to all her family, you know, and she started sharing it with me. And I believe that we need to have that same tenacity, that we will stand up for God, we will listen to what he has to say, and we will go. I believe every one of us has a unique calling. Daniel was called at such a time as this. He was called to be the man of God in that situation, him and his friends, and God gave them favor and success. Their decisions influenced the whole world at the time. Amazing influence that they receive, favor from God. When you stand up for God, you'll see God's blessings chase after you. God will open doors for you. Provision will come. Blessings will come. You might know what you're called to do. And I always like to say this. Every one of us has a holy discontent. We've all got something that just bugs us, that we feel called to bring a solution. I often have people come to me, I say to my leaders in the church, don't come to me with a problem, come to me with the solution to whatever problem you're seeing. We've got to be possibility thinkers, not negative thinkers in the church, amen? And in the same for you and your ministry, what's your holy discontent? My holy discontent is people going to hell. I don't want anyone I know to not know the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's why I will preach it morning, noon, and night, wherever I go, and every airplane, every checkout chick, every drive-through, which I'm not doing at the moment, thank you, Jesus. Everywhere I go, I will share the gospel. It drives Carol crazy. She can never get anything done because I'm always preaching. But you know what? That's my holy discontent. What's yours? What's God called you to do? I liken it to Popeye. Who remembers the cartoon Popeye with the muscles, you know? And he'd have olive oil with his girlfriend. He had arms like Dan. He was this big, ripped kind of bloke, you know? And olive oil would always get attacked or picked on by some bad guy in the Popeye cartoons. And then Popeye, he'd say, "I just can't stand it. I can't stand it no more." And he'd get his spinach, crack it open, and get all strong and mighty, and then he'd go and he'd punch up the bad guys and he'd save olive oil. And it's a cartoon, so it all finishes well in the end, doesn't it? You know, the hero wins in the end. The same thing with us in our Christian life. What can't you stand anymore? Is it the homeless people in our city that drives you crazy? Do something about it. Take the iron, the spinach, the power of the Word of God. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Fill yourself up so you, if you can't stand it anymore, and go and do something about it, amen? If it's people around the world that need to hear the gospel, go and do a mission trip, you know? If it's kids being lied to by the Safe Schools program and the rubbish they're teaching in our education system, and you want to train them in God's Word, help out in the kids' ministry and do something about it. If it's music that you can't stand, all the evil music in this world, write your own music. Write some worship Christian music that'll impact the world. What's your holy discontent? Take your spinach and do something about it, amen? What we see here in the book of Daniel is Daniel and his three friends doing something in the midst of pressure, darkness. Imagine this foreign country. I said last week it'd be like taking my son Josh Prater and and you know, someone from India invading Australia and taking them over to India and telling them you've got to worship the Hindu gods, you've got to eat the Hindu food, you've got to be trained in the Hindu way in this part of India, and you can't serve God anymore. And Josh prayed to my 13-year-old saying, no, I am going to serve God. I am going to eat what God told me to eat. I am going to worship my God. I am going to pray even if I get thrown in the lion's den. I'm not going to bow down to that statue even if I get thrown in the fire. I'm going to stand up for God. Imagine a young Josh Prater having that pressure in him. That's what it's like for these guys. Will you stand up for God in the midst of this dark generation? Will you do something with your area of gifting? These four young Jewish boys were taken captive, forced to conform to foreign ways, and they had to stand before the king of Babylon, who'd done many evil things to them. And they outperformed all the others 10 times more. They were 10 times greater. That's, I believe, a picture of the church in these last days. We are called to be 10 times greater than anybody else. God has chosen Daniel to reveal future chapters of his great story of redemption we're going to get to. And I just want to challenge you too. Maybe you are in a place where you're questioning God. Why is this happening to me in my marriage or in my health or in my workplace? Why am I in this hostile environment? Here's another verse for you. This is from Romans 8, 26 to 28. The Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches hearts knows the mind of the Spirit is, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Amen? That verse relates to Daniel and his friends. It related to Paul when he wrote it to the church in Rome. Maybe it's relating to you today. Whatever you're going through, God can make all things work together for his good. Amen? But then here's the next one. For those who are called according to his purpose. Are you following the call of God? Are you putting him first in your life? When you seek him first, he will cause all things to work together for good. Even the trials you're going through, even the temptations, even the health battles, even the attacks from the enemy, he can turn it around for his good. And that's what he did in the book of Daniel. He turned it around and raised them up to be 10 times greater. There's a verse in Daniel we're going to see later on in this series that says, those that know their God will be strong and do great exploits in the land. Exploits are rare and daring feats. I heard a sermon when I was 18 years old about that verse. And as I was a young youth pastor just starting in ministry, and it inspired me to be like a Daniel, to stand up for what I believe, to be an influencer in this nation for God's glory. I hope and pray that today you're inspired to know your God and do great exploits in the land, just like Daniel and his friends. There was a famous message preached years ago in front of thousands of young people, a message called Seashells. A preacher stood up in front of thousands of university students and said, to make a difference in this world, you just need to know a few great, unchanging, simple, glorious things and be set on fire by them. You just need to know a few simple things. You just need to know your calling. You just need to know God's word. You just need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and be set on fire by what you believe. John Piper, the preacher, went on to say, I know many people in this crowd want to make a difference in their life, but some of you don't care whether you're going to make a difference in this world or not. You just want people to like you. You just want a good job, a good wife, a couple of kids, a nice car, have nice weekend trips away, have a nice retirement, an easy death and no hell. If you could have that, you'd be satisfied even without God. That is a tragedy in the making. John Piper went on to explain that 3 weeks ago, before this famous message, Ruby and Laura Edwards had been killed in Africa. Ruby was over 80, single all of her life. She poured out for one thing, to make Jesus known among the unreached, the poor and the sick. Laura was a widow, a medical doctor, pushing 80 years old, and they were serving together in Cameroon. The brakes gave away on their vehicle. They went over that cliff and they died instantly. John Piper asked the crowd, was that a tragedy? Two lives driven by one great vision, spent in unheralded service to the perishing, for the poor, to care for those who are lost. No, that's not a tragedy. That is a glory, that they died serving God. He then went on to finish his message and said, this is the greatest tragedy. He'd been reading in Reader's Digest about Bob and Penny. They took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago when he was 59 and she was 51. They lived in Florida. They cruise on their 30-foot trawler. They play softball and they collect seashells. That is a tragedy. People are spending billions of dollars in the advertising industry. People are bombarding you with messages every day to embrace the American dream or the Australian dream. Don't buy it. With all my heart, I plead with you, don't buy that dream. The American dream, a nice house, a nice car, a nice job, nice family, nice retirement, collecting seashells as your last chapter before you stand before the Creator. Imagine if you stand before God one day and say, God, here I am. Here's my seashell collection. Look what I did. And I've got a nice golf swing and a beautiful boat. Don't waste your life. Don't sell in to the Australian dream. Don't buy the lie that your life is about your happiness. Your life is for God. Your life is to care for others. Your life is to share His good news. The gospel's been passed down for 2,000 years and the baton has been passed to us. This is our time to go and share the good news. Will you dare to be a Daniel? Will you dare to be an Esther? Will you dare to be a Mary or a Martha or a Peter or a Paul or a Timothy or a Barnabas? Will you dare to stand up and say, yes, God, no matter how dark the world is, I will find that holy discontent. I will find my calling and my gifting, and I will live for you. I will stand up like Daniel. With the supernatural power of God, I will go where you call me to go. Will you answer the call? Let's stand to our feet and let's pray. Father God, we want to know a few great, unchanging, simple, glorious things, and we want to be set on fire by them. We want to fulfill our potential to be the men and women of God you've called us to be. We want to use our gifts for your glory. We want to make a stand for the gospel, even if the whole world is against us. And Lord Jesus, we don't want to do it in our own strength, because it's not by might or by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We need your Holy Spirit to lead us, to be the men and women of God you've called us to be. Give us boldness like Daniel. Give us supernatural power just like you gave Daniel. Come and fill us afresh today with your Holy Spirit. And just with every eye closed and every head bowed as we close the service today, maybe you've been thinking during this message, you know what? I know about God, but I don't know him personally. I've never received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm here to tell you today, the first thing you need to do is get your life right with God. Don't waste another minute of your life going in the wrong direction. The Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe in Jesus today, you can receive him as Lord and Savior. He can forgive you of your sins. The Bible says if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Today, if you want to give your life to Jesus, I'm going to pray a prayer in just a moment where you can have your sins forgiven and you can start that relationship with Jesus. With every eye closed, today, if you want to give your life to Jesus, just slip your hand up high and I'll pray with you today. Get on your buddy, that's awesome. Anybody else that says, yes, I need to give my life to Jesus today. I want to thank you, brother. That is awesome. So good to hear. Anybody else that says, yes, today, I want to pray that prayer and have my sins forgiven. Just between you and God, no one looking around. We've got two brothers over here. Is there anybody else that says, yes, today's the day for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. Okay, well, let's all pray this prayer together. Dear God in heaven, let's pray it and mean it from our hearts, everyone. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me my sins and make me born again. I turn from my sinful ways and I surrender my life to you. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Well, God bless you if you prayed that prayer. And I'm going to invite you to come out the front, those that prayed that prayer. Come out the front, guys. We're going to give you a Bible. Pastor Dave, would you come up as well? Let's give these guys a hand as they come up, everyone. Bless you, guys. Good on you, mate. Bless you, buddy. Come over here. We'll give you some Bibles. Just wait there for a moment. And a guy with a Spider-Man shirt got saved. Thank you, Jesus. My son would love that shirt. It's so cool, mate. Bless you, brother. Come over here, guys. We'll give these guys some Bibles and talk to you about following Jesus. And I'm going to invite Dr. Klaus to come and join with me as we pray for people at the end of the service today. Maybe you're in a place where you feel like you haven't been fulfilling your calling. You haven't stepped out to be a Daniel. You haven't stepped out to be the man of God or the woman of God you've been called to be. And you want a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need healing in your body today. We've seen many miracles here as well. I know Dr. Klaus has seen many miracles over in Peru as well. If you'd like some prayer today, please come out the front. And we're going to close with one more song, if we could just quietly, Alex, thanks. And please stay around and have some time of worship together and some fellowship, and come for prayer if you want some prayer today. God bless.
I see the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see His love and mercy washing over all our sin. The people sing, the people sing. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. I see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith, selfless faith. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna.